The following is a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, advice for those of you who may be struggling financially as a result of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. We know the numbers of the Canadians and Newfoundland and Labradorians, of course, here at home that are struggling continues to increase. Joining me for the discussion is Yvette Power. She's a manager on my team here for BDO Debt Solutions in Newfoundland, and Adam Cardwell, also a manager on my team here at BDO Debt Solutions here in Newfoundland. So, guys, it's been 10 months since the COVID-19 pandemic began, and who could have predicted this year ago? Currently, many people are in a precarious financial situation. We did the BDO Affordability Index last fall, in October, actually, and almost a quarter of Canadians at that time had overwhelming debt and financial uncertainty due to the pandemic. Fast forward 3 months later, and a recent poll shows that 31% are actually finding it very difficult to pay their debt. So in just 3 months, we've seen a significant increase in the number of Canadians who are struggling. A CIBC poll that was done recently as well shows that close to half, at 43%, say their personal finances have been negatively impacted by the pandemic. Of those impacted, 52% say they don't have the advice they need in order to get their finances on track. And almost half, at 46%, believe it will take more than 12 months to get back on track. And I would suggest that people who feel that way, in my experience, the time of getting back on track is actually even longer than that. Three quarters say this current economic uncertainty makes it very difficult to plan ahead, and I certainly would agree with that point. So, Ben, let's start with you. Are you surprised by these statistics?
No, not at all, actually. Prior to COVID-19, we looked at the stats at that time, and 54% of Atlantic Canadians were living paycheck to paycheck. And people were actually struggling prior to the pandemic. And then, of course, 2020 started off with the Snowmageddon, which also saw a lot of individuals lose pay due to the state of emergency. And when you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's tough for people. It has been a real struggle. And throw COVID-19 into that, that certainly impacted the entire world. And I'm sure most sectors have been impacted. It saw individuals basically either lose their job or some sort of reduction in their income. So really, the stats don't shock me. Actually, I'm surprised they're not even a little higher.
Yeah, and that's, you know, based on a sample. So the numbers could, you know, be plus or minus in either direction there. How about you, Adam? How do you feel about these statistics? Is anything surprising or does anything stand out to you?
No, I mean, I have to echo what Yvette has already said. I don't think it's any secret that Newfoundland in particular was struggling pre-COVID. I know, our insolvency numbers were at a record high right up until March of 2020. So, I mean, what that tells me is those people are still there. You know, it's not a coincidence that those numbers kind of dropped a little bit when COVID hit, because a lot of people are getting help through, you know, government subsidies and creditor deferrals. But all those people that were still struggling pre-COVID are still there. And when you add COVID to the mix, you have a whole new wave of the population who are struggling as a result of the impacts of COVID-19. Small businesses are hurting. There's a lot of transient workers who are, out of work at the moment. A lot of people in the tourism and accommodation industry are feeling it as well. So, you know, you have the same issues we had in 2019, 2020, and now it's compounded with the effects of COVID. So I'm not surprised at all.
You know, I would agree with that for sure. And what are you hearing from clients? Like, I know we certainly saw a slowdown, and I mean, right across Canada, there were record lows in insolvency filings for most of 2020. But here in Newfoundland and Labrador in September, we started to see those numbers creep back up. So what are you hearing from clients? Are we hearing that it is a pandemic that kind of pushed them over the edge, or are we seeing more of what you're saying, that, you know, they were struggling prior to the pandemic and this was the straw that broke the camel's back?
So prior to the pandemic, you know, as I said before, and people were struggling financially. And then, you know, throw COVID into mix of that. People are still struggling. People have lost their jobs, reduction in their hours. They're not getting back to work. So they're trying to deal with this debt now before things actually get too far out of hand.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as the deferrals ended as well, which would have happened around September, October, and collection efforts resumed, that probably pushed a few people to actually seeking the help that they needed. One concern also for many Canadians right now is the CERB overpayments. We know Revenue Canada is certainly sending out letters to those started in December, people who may thought they qualified, they didn't really qualify, and now are looking to have those benefits repaid to Revenue Canada. There's also the tax implications, of course, of CERB as we come into tax season. So there's been a lot of media coverage regarding this since just before Christmas. And, of course, that's when the letters started coming out. So just a bit of background on CERB. When the crisis first began, of course, the federal government stepped in with much-needed stimulus to support Canadians. And I think they did a really good job in getting those funds out to Canadians in a very quick and orderly manner. And, of course, that was when CERB began. It provided Canadians with $2,000 a month. And, of course, that money, as we know, was not taxed at source. So the applications were handled by Revenue Canada. The focus was really to get the funds to those who needed it as quickly as possible. So the timing of the application and requiring proof that you did qualify was not needed in order to start the funds going out to people very quickly, as we said. So millions of Canadians who applied for the CERB when it was available. We actually had 9 million unique applicants. We had 27 million applications processed. The total dollar value of CERB benefits paid was nearly $82 billion. And here in Newfoundland and Labrador, we saw well over 100,000 unique applications at 122,270. So, you know, of the CERB applicants, it really shows the impact the COVID crisis has had on the finances of Canadians and here at home in Newfoundland and Labrador. But as we mentioned, owing tax is not the only obstacle for Canadians. We're also going to see many Canadians having to repay those benefits. And there's three main reasons why someone might have to repay CERB. So in some cases, you are paid twice. So in some cases, people applied through Revenue Canada and they also applied through Service Canada and received twice the benefit amount. Or you didn't earn enough in 2019. So another reason why some Canadians may have received CERB funds when they did not meet the eligibility requirements are those who didn't earn the minimum employment amount or self-employment income in 2019. So in order to qualify, you actually had to have employment or self-employment income of at least $5,000 in 2019 or in the 12 months prior to applying for CERB. So there was some confusion around certain income that technically wasn't considered to be employment or self-employment income, like things like pension income, disability benefits, student loans, bursaries, those types of things. So the third reason would be you didn't file your taxes in 2019. So letters have gone out to people who didn't file 2019 tax returns and those who haven't shown any proof of income regarding their CERB benefit entitlement. So Yvette, what advice can you share with those people facing repayment of overpayments or that will, you know, face taxes owed when they file their tax return this year?
So if you, with respect to CRA, I mean, if you don't pay your taxes, depending on your case, CRA can actually take a number of measures against you if you don't pay your taxes. I think the first and foremost would be communication with CRA. Reach out to them and make a plan. First of all, file your taxes on time. And if there is a debt owing to CRA, reach out to them and put a plan in place to pay the debt. Because if you don't pay the taxes that's outstanding in CRA, they can take a number of measures against you, including any wage attachments. They could seize bank accounts, register liens on your home, or force sale of any of your assets. So I do encourage you that once your taxes are filed and there is a debt owing and you can't pay it, number one is to communicate with CRA. And then, of course, if you can't come to any terms with CRA because you may be inundated with other debt as well, is to reach out to someone like BDO.
Yeah, and you're right. It's important that you file them on time. So many people decide not to file their taxes because they know they're gonna owe funds and they don't have the funds available to pay it. Still super important to make sure you're meeting that filing deadline so that you don't incur the interest and penalties on top of the balance that you're owing. And those are quite steep, right? So 5% penalty for not filing on time, and then an additional 1% for every month that you delay filing beyond that. So that can add up in a hurry. So Adam, what advice can you share with listeners who maybe can't come to an agreement with CRA on a repayment plan?
If after the fact you put your best efforts forward and try to work out a plan with CRA and the plan is just not affordable because, as we know, people's incomes have been reduced, and you know the situation is still very fluent and volatile for some people. So even if CRA does put forward a plan and it's just not, it doesn't fit into your budget, or it's not affordable, or there, you know, you're not able to successfully agree on a plan, there are other options. Contrary to what a lot of people think, any debt to CRA, whether it's income tax or an overpayment such as CERB, it is treated the same as an ordinary unsecured creditor, no different than that of a credit card or a loan to a financial institution. So there are other options available to consumers to deal with this debt. And, you know, that's where a debt professional kind of comes into play and can look at your financial situations and kind of point out those options to you, whether it be a consolidation, through an institution, or dealing with a debt professional like BDO and looking at a more formal option such as a consumer proposal. So I guess I would just want to point out that there are other options besides just defaulting on the debt and just simply not paying it because you can't afford to give CRA what they're asking for.
Yeah, and certainly, Revenue Canada, if you have money owing to them for personal income tax as a result of CERB, that is regular personal income tax debt, and to Adam's point, is covered in a bankruptcy or a consumer proposal. Obviously, CERB overpayments has not been tested yet because this is the first time we've been in a position, but there's been nothing to indicate that it will be treated any differently than any other overpayment by Revenue Canada. We did reach out to Revenue Canada to come on the show and provide some commentary around this. They didn't have anyone available, but did say that they are going to look at each case on a case-by-case basis, so every individual case will be looked at on its merits. So still ahead on Your Money, we have more advice on how you can prepare financially so you are better prepared to manage during these uncertain and certainly concerning times. Please stay with us.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden. Today's focus, advice for those who may be struggling financially because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Joining me for discussion are two managers of my practice here at BDO Debt Solutions, Yvette Power and Adam Cardwell. So if 2020 has taught us anything, guys, it's certainly that life happens. It's important to be prepared for the unexpected. And a great way to do this is by creating a financial plan. Now, we've talked about budgeting on this show several times. And I say financial plan because, a recent guest that I had on, Melissa Leong, she says, talking about a budget sometimes seems scary to people because they fear the B word. So looking at it as financial planning makes it a little more palatable for many people. So for the 11th year in a row, the CIBC survey showed that paying down debt tops the list of financial priorities for 1 in 5 Canadians, followed by keeping up with bill payments at 18%. So we're certainly encouraging people, as we always do, to pay down their debt as part of their 2021 financial plan. So about what advice do you have for people about, undertaking to create that financial plan for 2021? What's the first step?
Sure. I think first and foremost, I would really suggest that families sit down together as a family and have an open conversation about finances. I know it's a difficult conversation and people typically don't have that, but I would, this year more than ever, I would really encourage families to sit down as an entire unit and to talk about your finances and put it all on the table. And depending on the age as well, I mean, you can talk to your kids about finances and why you're reducing your budget. And if they're too young, I mean, you can still bring young children involved into the budgeting for the family. I mean, have them coupon clip and show them that you're trying to cut costs with respect to, you know, coupon clipping. Go to the flyers, again, help them cut out some coupons. You don't need to get into the nitty and gritty about them, but you can certainly get in and sort of explain the process of budgeting and money management with these little simple tips. But, you know, number one, I think first and foremost is to have the entire family unit sit down together and talk about it so that everybody's on the same plan. Yeah, and it is an important first step to at least, you know, speak with your spouse, if not with your entire family, although we do encourage that at various teachings, like you said, but to sit down and make sure that you are on the same page and that everyone is approaching this in the same manner and understanding the importance and agree with where you're going to place the importance of where you spend your money. Because if everyone's not on the same page, it's going to be harder to achieve that success. So, Adam, what should be taken into consideration as you sit down and create that plan?
I think the most important takeaway from creating a financial plan is to set goals, because that's really what it's all about. You know, what's important to you? What do you have to do? And, you know, how do you want to get there and when? So, I mean, you've heard of SMART goals. So basically, you know, the goals need to be specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and have timelines. And I think that would be the most important thing. Like, what are you trying to achieve here? And it doesn't have to be just financial. I mean, these are life goals. And, of course, your life goals are tied into your finances. So I think that would be, the goal here is to figure out what you're trying to accomplish. And naturally, the budget plays a part in that. And, of course, you have to look at your needs versus your wants and make a detailed inventory of what your income and expenses are and see, you know, what can be reduced or cut or what can you do without. So the budget is a part of the plan, but it's not the be-all, end-all. The financial plan is also something that people tend to be very regimented about, and they kind of have a tendency to set it and then leave it, where it really should be the opposite, and it should be more fluent and change with your lifestyle, and as things change in your life, then so should your financial plan. So I don't think people should shy away from revisiting that on a regular basis. I mean, you can never review your plan too often, and don't be afraid to change things that aren't working or change things as your lifestyle changes.
Yeah, it is really important that people review the plan. And I think that, you know, 2020 really showed us the importance of that, because people had changing things from, in some cases, month to month, right? They were working or they had no work, or they might have had gone back to work for reduced hours. So their income, waiting for their EI to come in, you know, all those things affected their income. They had changes in their expenses as well, though. So for people who were working from home, for example, they may have not had the same transportation costs, the same childcare costs. So things were changing, like I said, in some cases, month to month for individuals. So it really was important that they revisited their budget. It also brought to light, as we've said before, the importance of emergency savings. So making sure that as you're planning out your budget, you're looking for ways that you can set at least something aside for that emergency savings plan.
One of the questions you definitely need to ask yourself is, do you have access to savings or an emergency fund, whatever you want to call it? Because like you said, Nancy, a couple of minutes ago, if COVID taught us anything, it's really to prepare for the unexpected.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, we have some really great budgeting and goal setting worksheets, online tools, and even debt repayment calculators available on our website. If you go to debtsolutions.bdo.ca, you'll find a lot of great information there. So I always say, you know, do some research online and see what you can come up with yourself. But nothing really replaces talking to a professional about your specific situation. So talk us through the process. If someone wanted to come speak with us, what's that going to look like for them? So if you've tried all other avenues, like and exhaust all our avenues, and you just can't come up with a good, viable solution for your financial problems, I would really encourage you to reach out to us. It doesn't cost anything to come in and talk to us, and it doesn't actually impact your credit rating by coming in to talk to us, which a lot of people, that seems to be a misconception for a lot of people. By speaking to an advisor, that it does impact your credit rating, and it doesn't. So essentially what we do when we meet with an individual, they come in, they sit down, we sort of get a snapshot of the financial situation, look at their income, look at their expenses, look at their debt. Then we come up with a viable plan. And maybe it might be actually to, you know what, maybe you just need to do some budgeting, or maybe you might want to talk to a credit counselor. But oftentimes, again, as I mentioned before, that if you've exhausted those avenues, then there are alternatives. And once we go through your application and explain the process to you, then we'll come up with some good options for you, whether it's a bankruptcy or consumer proposal. And I think, though, Adam, a lot of people are often reluctant to meet with a debt professional. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's just been, over the years, there's been a stigma around getting help with your finances and struggling with debt. Now, I do think that stigma is slowly washing away based on what we're seeing in our practice. But I think there's a certain element of embarrassment or fear of being judged, or, you know, I couldn't do this on my own and I have to ask for help. So asking for help, I guess, traditionally is not something people, you know, want to do. But, you know, we've said this on the show before, Nancy. I mean, the sooner you get help, the easier it is, and the more options you have available to you. And really all, you know, we're going to do as a licensed insolvency trustees, are have a confidential free consultation where we talk about your financial situation and we make an informed decision about how to help you with your debt. And everybody's solution is unique to their situation. So, I mean, we're just going to explain these options and point them out. And then at the end of the day, it's up to, you know, the consumer or the client to decide what's best for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think for people who are out there struggling with debt or really not sure how to include debt repayment in their overall financial plan, because maybe they're struggling to meet the minimum payment, or recognizing that by making the minimum payment, they're never going to sort of see the end and get that debt repaid. So, you know, now really would be the time to meet with a debt relief professional. There's no obligation. It's simply getting the information to make an informed decision. And, you know, if you think about it, at this time of year, we've got many people focusing on their physical health in a lot of cases, making New Year's resolutions and so on around physical health and, you know, weight and all those different things. And they may decide to seek, you know, professional help from a trainer or join a gym or talk to a dietitian. So why wouldn't you also do the same when it comes to your financial health? So whether it's a licensed insolvency trustee like BDO, or, you know, a financial planner of some sort, just get to see what's best for you moving forward in the future with regards to your financial health. I would caution, though, there are a lot of, people who call themselves debt relief specialists that are debt consultants. They are unable to do a consumer proposal on your behalf. Only a licensed insolvency trustee can do a consumer proposal. So be sure when you're looking for debt relief help, looking for advice on debt relief, that you ensure the professional that you're seeking is actually a licensed insolvency trustee or regulated by the federal government and those rules and regulations that we need to follow as part of that. So we are actually going to get into what those various debt solutions are straight ahead. Please stay with us. You're listening to Your Money.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Joining me on the show today are two managers in my practice here in Newfoundland at BDO Debt Solutions, Yvette Power and Adam Cardwell. So, guys, thanks for joining me today. We know there's so many people out there who are listening that are really struggling to manage their debt. And we may notice some of the statistics around the level of debt that consumers are carrying. And it's a little misleading. Like, at the end of 2019, we were at about $1.81
when it comes to the debt to income ratio for Canadians. And in Q3 of 2020, which is the latest stat that's out, we're at $1.71. Now, some people must say, we've made great strides in reducing that number. Interestingly enough, the change in that number is not because debt levels have declined. It's because income levels have gone up. And for many people, they scratch their head and go, we just came through a pandemic, we have unemployment and all these things happening that is reducing people's income. But in some cases, the government benefits were actually a higher level of income than people were receiving before. And some of that is because the tax wasn't coming out, of course. It is a little misleading to think that we are in a better situation than we are, because we actually have higher levels of debt being carried. So some statistics that are out there now, according to Equifax Canada, total outstanding consumer debt topped $2 trillion at the end of 2020. Several surveys have showed the majority of Canadians are, in fact, living paycheck to paycheck. It should also be noted by Equifax that 12% of new credit products taken out in the third quarter of 2020 were by those who already had some form of deferral on their file. So that means they've on their file, it shows that they've asked their creditor to defer payment of some kind. 64% of Canadians are carrying non-mortgage debt. And as we said earlier, 31% say they are experiencing difficulty paying that debt. People continue to face job losses and layoffs. In December, we saw the first decline in jobs since April of last year. The national rate is now at 8.6%, but of course, we're feeling that a lot harder here in Newfoundland and Labrador with a rate of 12.3%. So what are your thoughts on this, Yvette? Like, do you agree? Do you think that we are going to see a rise in insolvency filings as we come through 2021?
Oh, absolutely. I think, again, prior to the pandemic, when people were struggling financially, then you had, the pandemic happened. Then you had some people that did actually lose their jobs. I know they did have CERB benefits, but, you know, by the time you get that $2,000, and you make a decision then, do I pay my debt, do I save money for income tax, or do I buy groceries? So people were struggling financially during the pandemic, and I think that once the income tax is filed and, you get assessed by CRA, then you get this huge tax bill, and then combined with all the other debt that you do have, then it's just going to be a real struggle for individuals. So I do think we're going to see a definitely spike in insolvency filings, later in 2021.
And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, there are other options for dealing with debt, right? Insolvency is not necessarily the first go-to, and many people look to other options first. So, Adam, let's talk about some of those, because we do talk about those with our client as they come in with the initial consultation as well. So let's look mm-hmm. at a consolidation loan. What would be the benefit of a consumer with regards to a consolidation loan?
A consolidation loan is a great option for a lot of people. Essentially, a financial institution is going to roll all your debt into one loan, or it could be even a line of credit of some sort. But I guess specifically, we're talking about a consolidation loan. So it's basically rolling all your debt into one payment, where you have one interest charge. Generally, it tends to be lower interest than, that of a credit card or, payday loans or those types of things. So, typically it's rolled into one payment with one interest charge, and it tends to be lower than, most other interest charges, such as that of a credit card. And it gives a consumer the ability to budget a little more effectively. They have one payment, it's easier to plan for, and you tend to pay down the debt quicker because there's a timeline attached to it. Typically a loan has to be repaid by a certain time frame. You're paying back 100% of the debt, again, plus interest. And it's an informal, what we would consider an informal solution to consolidating your debt. And, of course, you have to apply for it as well, right?
Right. You're going to need to talk to your bank and make sure that your income qualifies you for that loan. One thing that is super important that we talk to people about with debt consolidation is make sure that you're canceling, cutting off the cards that you're consolidating so that you don't get into the situation where you've consolidated, you've gotten relief, you've gotten a lower payment, but you continue to use the credit that you just cleared and find now that you're in a situation where you're unable to afford the consolidation loan payment and keep up on the minimum payments on those credit cards. It's really important that you you look at that or at least reduce the number that you're carrying. So those are some informal debt solutions. What can you tell our listeners about the more formal debt solutions that we would offer at BDO? So the more formal debt solutions, again, as I talked about in the last segment, we meet with an individual, sort of get a snapshot of their financial situations, and then come up with a couple of options. The last resort, as I said before, is a bankruptcy. But one of the most common resorts that individuals are looking at right now is a consumer proposal. And essentially, a consumer proposal is we can draft a consumer proposal to your creditors where you repay a portion of your debt that you owe. You wouldn't have to give up any of your assets. And creditors actually vote to accept your proposal. And once they accept it, we set you up on a payment plan, typically over a period of 60 months. And it is a great alternative to a bankruptcy. And again, it's one payment. You have the one payment for 60 months. You know what that payment is, and you can budget for it. I would really encourage individuals, though, if they're seeking ways to deal with their debt, that to be, as Nancy mentioned in the last segment, be very careful when you're dealing with agencies that are not federally regulated. Only licensed insolvency trustees are federally regulated and can draft a consumer proposal and file with the federal government for you. Yeah, and obviously one of the benefits to a consumer proposal versus other debt repayment plans with a credit counseling agency, for example, is that we only need 50% of your creditors to agree to the proposal. And as long as we get that 50%, all your other unsecured creditors are bound by those terms. So that's a great benefit that it is binding on 100% of your creditors once it's passed. And it is easier to budget because you do have that one payment. You know that that payment's not going to change. If you did come into additional money, like a tax refund, for example, or GST or anything like that and wanted to pay extra, no fines, penalties, anything like that after paying it off early. But all you're going to be required to do is that minimum payment. So, Adam, who would really qualify for a proposal? Like, take us through when you see your client, how you determine that client is the proposal is the best option for them.
Well, contrary to what a lot of people think, there's not really an eligibility or an application process. Really, if there's a debtor who or a client is struggling with their debt. And they're technically insolvent and they're unable to pay it back. They can certainly avail of the consumer proposal. As Yvette already mentioned, essentially what we're doing is we're making an offer to the creditors to settle the debt, and that amount that we offer the creditors is based on the client's financial situation. So again, another contradiction or myth that seems to be out there is, I owe too much, I can't afford to do it. I'll never be able to afford the proposal. I owe too much money, and that's completely false. It's not necessarily based on who your creditors are or the balances. I mean, of course, it's a factor. But plays a small part in determining what the proposal amount is going to be. So everybody's situation is unique, and after we do our financial assessment and kind of explore the options, it's usually very obvious which option makes the most sense for you. And most cases these days, a proposal is a great alternative and a better alternative to a bankruptcy. And the vast majority of our proposals are accepted by the creditors, which gives the client the freedom to pay down their debt at a rate that's affordable for them, and they can continue to live without the the stress of, you know, dealing with creditors, paying minimum payments and paying high interest charges every month.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So the amount of debt you owe doesn't determine whether or not the proposal is right for you or determine how much you're going to have to pay. It really is based on the income situation for your family and, you know, any assets that you might have. Although, as Yvette mentioned earlier, you don't lose your assets in filing a consumer proposal. I mean, we've done proposals for people that are as low as sort of 6-7 cents on the dollar. They range in all the way up to, you know, sort of 70-75 cents on the dollar and everywhere in between. It really is based on that individual situation. And the best thing to do is to reach out to find out what it would look like for you. Well, you're listening to Your Money. Please stay with us. Lots more to come when we return.
This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden on the VOCM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guests today are Yvette Power and Adam Cardwell. They're both managers in my debt solutions practice here in Newfoundland. So we've been discussing the financial impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on Canadians, and we know many are struggling as a result of this pandemic. And, you know, there continues to be a lot of uncertainty around this as we wait for the vaccine rollout and the timing around how that's going to happen. And of course, we've been very lucky. And, you know, thank you to the provincial government and certainly Dr. Fitzgerald for really keeping the numbers low with the policy and recommendations that they're putting in place. But for those who are finding managing their debt overwhelming, and it's really important that you know their solutions. Before the break, we talked a little bit about the benefits of a consumer proposal. And of course, although I would say right now, 80 to 85% of our clients are following consumer proposals, there is a portion of the population that we're seeing where a bankruptcy really is the better option for them. And we know that there are a lot of myths out there surrounding bankruptcy. So let's start dispelling some of those myths. You know, some people think that you're going to lose everything in a bankruptcy, that you'll certainly lose your home in a bankruptcy, or that your spouse is on your debt. If you have debt, then your spouse is responsible for that debt as a result of being married to them. But these things aren't true. What can you tell our listeners about that?
No, absolutely. I mean, bankruptcy and consumer proposal, there's just so many misconceptions out there with respect to that. So with respect to some of the myths, to dispelling some of the myths, if you file a bankruptcy and you have a mortgage on your property and you wanted to keep your home, you do not have to lose your property. As long as you continue to keep your mortgage payment up to date, that's absolutely fine. Lots of times I'll have individuals come into the office, a husband and wife, and the debt may be all in the husband's name. So the wife comes in thinking she may have to file again. So you are not responsible for your spouse's debt by virtue of marriage. Unless you're signed on the debt, you're not responsible for your spouse's debt. Losing your RRSPs are also creditor protected. You know, everybody's going to know that I filed a bankruptcy or consumer proposal. We'll know everybody does not know that you're going to file a bankruptcy or consumer proposal, or your credit rating is going to be impacted just by coming in to sit down to talk to a trustee. That's not the case whatsoever. If you come in and meet with a trustee and decide, okay, this is not the best option for me, then that's fine. It stops there. It's 100% confidential. But again, with respect to a vehicle as well, if you file a bankruptcy and you have a vehicle, you have a recreational vehicle, you have a trailer, and you wanted to keep those assets, you certainly can keep them and continue with the payment. Alternatively, if you have those assets and you can't afford to pay that mortgage payment anymore, or you can't afford to keep your car payment or your trailer payment or your ATV payment or whatever the case may be, you also then have a right to give up those assets, return them back to the creditors. They will take them and they'll sell them, and those debts will be covered as well. So I would say those are the most misconceptions that I've seen.
Yeah, and they are the most common for sure. And it's really important that people understand that they are myths. But again, the best way to dispel those myths is to get the information. So, you know, you can read about information online, but don't use that as your only source, because the way that information impacts your personal situation could certainly be different. So, Adam, what is the benefit to consumers for a bankruptcy? Like, what type of relief is it going to allow them to get? So, for example, if their wages are being garnished.
Yeah, well, essentially bankruptcy is a legal procedure where your debts, you're released of your liabilities. So in other words, your unsecured debt is all written off. And as Yvette says, when it comes to your secured creditors, you have the choice. So you want to keep them by all means. If you're in a bad deal and you can't afford that camper anymore, well, then that you have the choice of including it. So those are the obvious benefits, and that's the kind of the catalyst for getting, for people coming to see us and explore that option. But you're also granted creditor protection immediately upon filing. So the obvious is creditors can't call, collect, and harass. But also, to take it a step further, if you were subject to a wage garnishment, your accounts were frozen, or anything along those lines, then the bankruptcy would seize all collections and grant you protection from your creditors immediately. It also protects you going forward, as long as you're in the bankruptcy process, and then once you're discharged from the bankruptcy, a short time after, you're released of those liabilities.
Yeah, so lots of information for consumers, and of course that's the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more that we can tell people that are interested in having the free initial consultation. But for now, we've got some time for some final thoughts. So Yvette, if you could leave our listener with some final thoughts today, what would they be?
What I would encourage anybody that's struggling financially with their debt right now is to reach out. There are so many options available. It doesn't mean by speaking to us you're going to have to file a bankruptcy or consumer proposal. We can sit down with you and come up with some good viable options for you. The sooner that you seek advice, the sooner you'll begin to turn your situation around. I would encourage everyone to check out our website, debtsolutions.bdo.ca. There are several good blogs there that can provide some very good information for you. And also to any employers out there, that we do offer a financial wellness seminar. Certainly reach out to us. We'd be happy to come to your workplace to do those. Or, of course, due to COVID restrictions, we can certainly do those online as well through Zoom or Teams or whatever works for you as well. But again, the sooner you seek help, the better.
Great. Thanks for the discussion today. Great advice for our listeners. Thanks for joining me. And Adam, if you could leave our listeners with a final thought today, what would it be?
I would just echo what Yvette has already said. I mean, there's no harm in picking up the phone and calling to make an appointment, and we can, do it over the phone. We're certainly, our office is open to the public all across the province, and we can meet with you to look at your options. And again, not to repeat what Yvette has said, but I mean, I have clients that I've been speaking with since last year, since before the pandemic hit, who haven't had to file a proposal or a bankruptcy, but we're still just going through their options, and as their situation changes, so there's the solutions available to them. So it doesn't always have to mean a bankruptcy or proposal. Sometimes it's just getting some advice and direction. So I would again recommend picking up the phone and calling. You can reach us at 579-0600, or I can be emailed at acardwell@bdo.ca. And thanks again for having me, Nancy.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for joining me. So I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. As always, I do want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question, or maybe a topic you'd like us to discuss here on Your Money, you can email us at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give us a call at 800-563-8337. And to echo the comments of Yvette and Adam, if you are struggling, the most important thing to do is to find out what your options are. So if that starts with visiting our website at debtsolutions.bdo.ca, or give us a call and get some relief from just knowing what the options are that are available to you. So until next week, I'm Nancy Snedden. Please stay safe and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment for Your Money, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees, on VOCM.
The proceeding was a paid program on the VOCM Big Land FM radio network.